Hi. Thank you so much for that special. I pray that we can all learn something tonight from the Word of God. Let's all stand together. Please grab your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 3, we're going to look at two verses, chapter 13 to 14. Very familiar verses, but sometimes if we are not careful, if Charlie Chim is not careful, we can gloss over the very simple truths that God has for us in those very simple verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13 to 14, the Bible says, I will read by myself, you can follow along silently. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray this evening. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege it is to stand behind this pulpit. And I really do am thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that I have to share the Word of God. Really, I'm thankful not only for the opportunity to preach, but I'm thankful that I've had the opportunity the last couple weeks here, this study, to get into the Word of God, to search my own life in different areas that I can improve. And I really do pray, Lord, that as you've helped me to settle on this message, that it would be a breath of fresh air. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us all, Lord, to absorb the truths of God tonight, and that we may apply it in our lives. We love you, and we pray that you would be with our pastor, help him to get better, Lord. We need our leader back. Please help him, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. As I mentioned, it is a privilege to preach. Now, I'll be honest with you, I would rather have pastor here tonight. I would rather have pastor here tonight, but he asked me to preach, so here we go. As we read in Philippians chapter 3, one of the hardest things to do as a Christian is to follow that passage in our own lives. What are one of the instructions here? We got to forget the things of our past. How many of you would attest that there are some things in your past, I definitely have some things in my past, that I would be good to forget about. And sometimes the devil rears his ugly head, and he's got an ugly head, and he reminds us of the things that we used to do. And here's one reason why he reminds us of the failures of the past. And this is our fault, because we relive the failures of the past today. We make the same mistakes that we used to make in the past that caused those imperfections and those turmoil, that strife in our life. We are repeating those mistakes today, but that takes effort to forget the things of our past. Another thing that takes effort is reaching forth into the things which are before. We've got to realize today that God's got amazing things for Charlie Chim and his family if I only live for him. And by the way, you could plug your name in there. God's got an abounding truth and blessing for your life, but you got to live for him today. We've got amazing things in our future, but that doesn't come by osmosis. We've got to do the things that God asks us to do, which we'll talk about tonight. That takes effort, though. Reaching forth unto the things which are before takes effort. Pressing toward the mark for the prize of God's high calling in our lives, that takes effort. Pressing toward the mark every single day, reading my Bible, living in prayer, making sure that I have the fruits of the Spirit in my life, making sure that I'm kind to those around me, that takes a lot of effort. I'm going to admit that takes a lot of effort. And sometimes, man, I'm tempted not to apply that effort. Sometimes I'm tempted not to try as hard as I should, but it takes a lot of effort. The challenge tonight, this evening, is wrapped up in the title of tonight's message, which is, try a little harder. Try a little harder. Whatever life that God has for you, in order to attain it, you got to try a little harder. In order to have that beautiful marriage that when God looks down, he says, that's what I intended for marriage to be like right there. In order to attain that, we got to try a little harder. Perhaps with our children, we got to try a little harder. Try a little harder to love them. Try a little harder to guide them. Try a little harder to lead them correctly. Try a little harder. In our walk with God, relationships, and in general, our everyday lives, we often settle for what's called mediocrity. Can I get you to say mediocrity? That's a big word that makes me look intelligent, but I'm not that intelligent. I had to look it up, okay? Mediocrity basically means half-heartedness. It means that we're non-passionate. We're non-committed about the things that God has us to do. Listen, this world, this church does not need more mediocre Christians. We don't need more half-heartedness. Our families do not need more half-heartedness. We need wholeheartedness. We need full commitment. We need full passion for God. Mediocrity, as I mentioned, is half-heartedness. Our mediocrity often boils down to our effort or lack thereof. We need to try a little harder. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, the Bible says, I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm or mediocre, and because or neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Basically, God likens mediocrity or lukewarmness or half-hearted Christianity. He likens it to him wanting to vomit. I don't know about you, but I've vomited a few times in my lifetime, and it's not pleasant. It's not fun. One time I remember Miss Jazz and my wife were with child at the same time. We were driving up to couples retreat. We're driving the windy mountains, the windy roads of Big Bear, and then they were both throwing up in my back. Me and Brother John are like, man, this childbirth stuff is hard. I'm going through a hard time right now. No. They're throwing up, they're barfing, and then Jazz, I don't know where you're at, Miss Jazz. She looked up. Sorry, this is not a funny thing, guys. Don't laugh. She looked over at my wife and says, Mrs. Chim, that is the most gracious I've ever heard someone throw up. Hey, listen, my wife is all about following the Bible, amen. She's going to throw up. She's going to do it graciously. I don't know what that means, but she threw up, and it didn't smell very gracious, though. Put it that way. Listen, at the end of the day, if we are mediocre Christians, we need to try a little harder. If we are a mediocre spouse, perhaps we need to try a little harder. By the way, let me say this. God intended for your marriage to be a good thing. God intended my marriage to be a blessing. God doesn't want me to stay at work so I can avoid the catastrophe that's bound to happen because I go home. No, God wants it to be a lovely thing. But perhaps it's not lovely because we're mediocre. Perhaps it's not lovely because we're not trying hard enough. If our parenting skills are mediocre, perhaps we need to try a little harder. If our bus route is mediocre, or our rest home ministry is mediocre, or our Sunday school class is mediocre, we need to try a little harder. You know, the good thing is there's a solution tonight. If you've got anything you're over in your life right now and it's not what it should be, you can just try a little harder. You can just apply a little bit of effort, and you never know what God can do with a little bit of effort. The message tonight is simple yet urgent. Sometimes we need to have an honest evaluation of our life. You know, the Bible says, search me, O God. Have that honest evaluation, and at the end of that evaluation, you're going to realize that a little effort goes a long way. A little effort goes a long way. Perhaps there's a wife tonight thinking in her head, man, if my wife just tried a little harder, our marriage would be good. Perhaps there's a wife out there that's thinking, if only my husband tried a little harder, we'd have a better marriage. Perhaps there's a parent out there that's thinking about their kids down the aisle. Man, if they just tried a little harder, put a little more effort into it, we would have a better relationship. Whatever the situation is in your mind and your heart right now, the truth still stands. Effort goes a long way. Yeah. Well, Brother Chim, I'm not very happy right now. I don't feel very fulfilled in this Christian life. First of all, you're not committed, because if you were committed, you will realize God is worth it. And God is worth it. Spending time with, getting up in the morning, spending time in the Word of God, reading my Bible every single day, that is worth it. But you know what? Why it's worth it? Because it took a little effort. It took a little effort. Edison, the famous preacher. No, he wasn't the famous preacher. He said the difference between failure and success is often, here it is, one more try. The difference between failure and success is often one more try. Perhaps you're just a little bit away from seeing God's blessings pour down upon you because you're quitting too early. Perhaps you're not trying hard enough. Perhaps your children are not receiving the joyful parent that God intended for them to have because you're not trying hard enough. Try a little harder. Try a little harder. Try a little harder. Tonight I'd like to share three areas in our lives that can prove incredibly beneficial if we only tried a little harder. Number one, try a little harder spiritually. Try a little harder spiritually. Too many believers just settle with what I call the appearance of godliness. Amen. The appearance of godliness. One more time. Too many believers just settle with the appearance of godliness. And one reason why we do this is because we understand, we're not dumb, we understand that we can fool most people by wearing on godliness. Just the appearance of it. Man, if I could just talk godly, if I could just act godly, if I could just walk around like I'm godly, put on a suit coat, wear a tie, wear a nice dress, I can just fool everybody. Let me say this. That is true. You're going to fool a lot of people if you act godly. You're going to fool a lot of people with only the appearance of godliness. But my encouragement for you is get the real thing. Get the real, we'll talk about that later. Another reason why we do this, just settle with the appearance of godliness, is because it takes too much effort. It takes too much effort to be a real Christian. Because putting on my tie and my suit jacket, that was fairly easy. Going in my car to church and telling all the kids, wipe your snot, smile, let's go. That's easy. But I tell you what, getting up in the morning and spending time in the Word of God, that takes effort. Going to sleep and praying for my family, having devotion. We have, take this however way you want it, because I've learned this. It's important to try to be an example and try to live right so you can be an example, but there's always going to be someone out there that's critical, and I'm okay with that, okay? So here's something for you guys to be critical. No, I'm just kidding. One thing that I'm trying to do, we tried to do this in 2022. One of our church members reminded me, and they asked me, how did you guys do? We didn't finish. We tried to read our Bibles through as a family together. You know, everybody has family nights every once in a while. We just decided it's not a bad idea to have family nights every day, amen? Yeah. We tried to read them. All my kids are reader nights except for Benji. He's not a very good reader, but he needs to get right with God. But we tried to get together, and my other ones are pretty good readers, and we're trying to read the Bible through the Bible reading calendar. If it's good for me, it's good for all of us. Yeah. We're trying to read it through every single day this year. And by the way, 2022 was the first time we started. We were doing all the way good, all the way up to July 27th. That was when I had my accident. We were actually 7 days ahead. 7 days ahead. Where's he? Just 7 days ahead. Now here we go. We're going to finish. And then Daddy had to mess it up by getting in a coma. Okay? So it's my fault. And then when I got out, let me say this, guys. If you've ever been sick or in the hospital, it's not very easy to be spiritual. I'm going to tell you that right now. My brother-in-law, I don't know where he's at, but Brother Pineda, he went to go visit me in the hospital. He asked me one time, do you want me to read the Bible to you? And I'll be honest with you. Here's what I thought. No, I don't. I don't want you to read the Bible to me. It's not easy being spiritual in the hospital, but we still got to be spiritual. And when we got out of the hospital, I think I got out in October, and my wife asked, hey, are we going to continue this? And we tried it for a little bit, and man, I just couldn't see right. It was just hard, so we didn't quite finish. We were probably a month or so short. However, let me say, we're trying it up again. No more accidents. Okay, Lord, please, I don't want any more accidents. But here's the deal. Try a little harder to be spiritual in your homes. Try a little harder to be spiritual. Try to get the real deal. It takes effort, but that effort is worth it. When you have the hand of God blessing you in your life, doesn't mean you'll have a perfect life. But just because you're if you're living right with that effort, God's going to bless it. God's going to bless it, and it is worth it. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The form of godliness can be referred to as external only Christianity or surface Christianity. When we're in our cars, it's quite different, isn't it? If we're not careful, we look like a Christian. We got the tie on, we got the dress on, everything's wonderful. Everything's wonderful, but when we get in our car, when we get into our home, when we get into our office at work, everything's different. Let me say this, that's external only Christianity. By the way, you will be exposed, I will be exposed. And the sad thing is, if we have that kind of home, our little children are going to see it. They're going to go, man, Daddy preaches a lot differently than he lives. Listen, I got 5 kids and my only wife, okay? Oh, sitting over there watching me. They know how I live at home. They know what I watch on TV. They know what I do. They know the entertainments that I have. And I've got to live right if I'm going to influence that family right there. That perfectly takes up a row. Perfect. So that means that we're not going to have more children, I guess. Next year, Christianity should be evident externally. That's important, yes, but it must first be real internally. It must first be real internally. The problem is many of us are settling with external only Christianity. We're good with looking like we're Christian. I remember when I went to Bible college, I shouldn't say this. Well, you don't know who I'm talking about. My first day in Bible college, there was a guy there, brother. I was like, wow, he is godly. Look at him brothering all of us here. Brother, good to see you, brother, how you doing, brother? That very night, and I'm going to keep it careful here, because if you guys want the real story, pay me $5 tonight, or I'll give it to you. He came to my room at a party, 11 o'clock at night, knocking on all the doors in the hallway, floor number 3. How you doing, brother? And he wasn't wearing much, and the guys were like, whoa, what are you doing, brother? He goes, keep your eyes up here. I'm like, wow, what a jokester. What a sinful guy. By the way, we all have sin, but that's another level right there. You're at Bible college for crying out loud, training for the ministry. And by the way, he's not in the ministry. He got kicked out within a couple of weeks. Let me say this. Save that external only stuff. God isn't going to use that. Be real for God. Let's have a real internal Christianity next year. Walking with God isn't just about having a form of character, but we'll have it. You know, I don't really understand this, but this is my opinion. So hold me to this, okay? I believe that if you're truly walking with the Lord, if you're getting up in the morning, spending time in His Word, or if you're an evening person, and you're spending time in the Scriptures, and you're walking with God in prayer, and you're trying your best to abstain from all appearance of evil, every opportunity that comes up, you're not giving into it for sin, I believe you're going to have character. I believe you're going to be reliable. You're not going to be a worker that your boss has to wonder, am I going to fire them? Because they're just not getting their things done on time. They're not reliable. By the way, goes hand in hand. Character and walking with God goes hand in hand. Y'all are quiet there, so I'll move on here. Next year, we won't be characterized by drama or having a difficult spirit to be around. You know that, you know, when people say, walking on eggshells around that person. I don't want to be that kind of person. Wherever I am, if you're around me, I don't want you to feel that you're walking on eggshells unless someone just threw some eggs. Okay? I don't want that. But there are some people that everywhere they go, the drama follows them. Let me say this. I don't like drama. Brother Chim does not like drama. But being the principal of the school, pastor loves to put me in that situation, amen? I remember when I got out of the hospital. I got out of the hospital in October. I made the determination. Listen, I got to go back to work. Good night. We got to go back to work. I went back in November, and pastor told me, now, Brother Chim, I'm going to ease you back in. I'm going to ease you back in. And I said, okay. And by the way, he's probably listening to a live stream. You'll remember this conversation. I'm going to ease you back in. Don't worry. And there was an ugly situation. I mean, ugly. Say ugly? Yeah, look like me, okay? It was ugly. And then sure enough, he goes, Brother Chim, can you deal with this? I was like, oh, sure. Could barely walk then. I dealt with it, and it was ugly. There's another situation where outside of his office, one of the parents that's no longer here, praise the Lord, whatever. I said, whatever. No longer here was yelling at one of my teachers. No, that can't be it. Someone's putting YouTube on. No way. Came out there. Again, I was wobbling over there. And by the way, sadly, some of our students were hearing that. This was in 2022. I didn't even have a chance to finish the calendar year yet, right? Come on, man, bring 2023. And sure enough, I was like, okay, seriously, you guys get in my office. And I don't talk to parents. You guys know this. I don't talk to parents like that. Get in my office. We are not doing this. This is ridiculous. And by the way, we dealt with it, all right? We're not having drama in our school. We don't have drama in our school. Our school is an institution to raise up the future generation of Christians. We're not going to sit there and dramatize everything. No way! Having that form of godliness. We don't have time for that, as a preacher once said, amen? Next year. The Bible still says in Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. If we regularly experience drama and turmoil and anguish in multiple situations in life, and we constantly find ourselves in a rut, perhaps we need to try a little harder to be different. Try a little harder for people to get along with us. Yeah. Try a little harder to avoid drama that always seems to follow us. Try a little harder to be solving problems as a God-fearing Christian. Try a little harder to be spiritual. Yeah. Proverbs 25:28 tells us, he that hath no rule over his own spirit. I've been quoting this verse a lot. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Back in the old days, your walls, that was your security. That kept your family safe. That kept your town safe. So that city did not have walls to protect it. That city didn't have anything. The enemy could come in at any time and destroy that city. Far too often, Christians are out of control. Far too often, Christians do not control their own spirit, and as a result, their family is in jeopardy. Their spiritual life is in jeopardy. Their marriages are in jeopardy. Their children are in jeopardy. Their ministry is in jeopardy. What happens? We got to try a little harder to control our spirit. We got to try a little harder to make sure that we're not always out of control. Put a little effort into it. God isn't impressed by outward shows of religion. He's looking for sincere faith and obedience. Some sins that we have in our lives are called besetting sins. The sins that we struggle with over and over again, they reoccur over and over again. I thought I confessed that at the altar 3 weeks ago. It keeps on popping back up. Well, there's a reason for that, because we're not wisely dealing with that. We're not confessing, forsaking, and we're not putting up the walls to keep us from falling back into that sin. Got to be careful. Got to be wise about this. But perhaps we have besetting sin over and over again. It could be anger. I'm always getting angry. I'm always losing control. I'm always looking at improper things online or on my phone. I'm always this. I'm always that. I'm always getting proud. I'm always hurting my kids and hurting my family and hurting my whatever the case may be. Perhaps we are constantly involved with besetting sin because we're not trying hard enough. We're not putting enough effort to avoid it. We're not putting enough effort to remove ourselves from the temptations that would draw us back in. Try a little harder in your spirituality. Victory over sin starts with effort, but if you're not trying hard enough, don't expect results. Next year, try a little harder in our marriage. God intended for our marriages to be God-fearing, God-honoring, and a Christ-centered institution where we are to reflect His love and His grace. But sadly, most marriages do not reflect God's love and grace. We need to try a little harder. A strong, godly marriage takes intentional effort. And it's got to be done on purpose. If you and your wife love each other tonight, praise the Lord for that. But that was on purpose. There's a lot of things that you're doing to make sure that happens. If you are sitting next to your spouse tonight, except for my wife, right? Where are you? I didn't preach. She didn't want to stand up here while I was preaching. But it takes intentional effort. You got to have those date nights. You got to have those conversations. And sometimes they're difficult conversations. You got to go the right direction. And by the way, there needs to be a leader in the home that says, honey, we're serving the Lord. Amen. That's what we are doing. We are not compromising. It takes a little effort, husbands. We are to love our wives a lot more than we often realize. A lot more than we often realize. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Why are you doing that motion, Brother Jim? Because that's a big kind of love. That's a deep commitment. That's the kind of love that I don't think I always live up to sometimes. I've got to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That means I've got to help her out every now and then. By the way, the wife is to help me, not to have her own agenda. The husband's got to be the spiritual leader of the home, but here's the deal. You've got to do what God created you to do, not chase your dreams, not be lost in your hobbies and expect your wife to follow you. You follow God's leading. You, whatever it is, for me, it's a ministry, it's a school, it's my Sunday school class, and my wife tags along as a help me. But as long as I love my wife as Christ loved the church, we will be okay. Yeah. We're going to be okay. Wives, you, not we, you are a lot more powerful than you realize. Leslie Chim is pretty powerful. She's a strong bench presser. She's pretty powerful. You know why I can tell you she's powerful? Because, man, she has the ability to motivate me or discourage me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful she encourages me. But let me tell you something, wives out there. You all are really powerful. Man, you know this too. You can literally go up to your husband and say something mean and snarly, and he may act like it doesn't affect them, but man, he's about to crumble. That's why you got to have a supporting wife. That's why you got to have a loving wife. That's why you got to use your words to encourage. The Bible says, where's the Bible? Right here. Proverbs 31:12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That is the commitment that the wife should be making. Four of the many dangers that Christians face in marriages today. Here we go. Don't get mad at me. I'm almost done. Husbands are not strong spiritual leaders. That's it. You're not strong spiritual leaders, and as a result, not being strong spiritual leaders, wives have a hard time respecting them because they know they're sitting there looking at things they shouldn't look at. Watching movies, and Hollywood is dominating the homes, so it's hard to follow Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 12, if my husband's sitting there feeding his flesh. Come on now. It's hard to follow Proverbs chapter 31 if my husband is not reading his Bible and spending time in the Word of God. That's hard. Next year. and out of control, wives grow an independent spirit. They got a job and they got their own bank account and they got their own pursuits. No, your pursuit ought to be helping your husband fulfill God's plan for your marriage. And he's a leader. Next year. An out of control temporal value system. Man, I am not okay with that rinky dinky purse. I got to have this purse. I got to have those shoes. And it's out of control. Out of control. And by the way, the husband too. Next year. Brother Joseph was talking about husbands like to just drop it all, spend whatever. Spend a lot of whatever he said was better than what I could say. Next, unforgiveness is prevalent in the home. Oh my, that is a pitfall of marriage. Unforgiveness is prevalent in the home. A good marriage, Dr. Heil said this, a good marriage is made up of two people that are good at forgiving. Amen. A good marriage is made up of two people that are good at forgiving, expert forgiverers, okay? Expert forgivers. Can I tell you something? Charlie Chim sometimes can be a knucklehead. Yeah. Don't you nod your head, honey, just kidding. There are so many opportunities. Okay, let me try to not stand behind the pulpit here. Let me get real with you guys here. If you're married, just look up here for a moment, okay? Actually, look at the speaker here, okay? If you're married, can I tell you something? You know this and I know this. There are many opportunities for an argument if we're not careful. Many opportunities. My wife and I, we were talking about something. Sorry, honey. I had an accent, so my brain's... All right. Just kidding. But we had an opportunity for an argument the other day. We were helping somebody with ministry, something. And I love to save money. I don't mess around because I'm too poor to not save money, okay? I have to save money. And then something came up. I asked my wife, and she wasn't communicating it clearly to me or what I thought was clear communication. It was an opportunity for me, brother, just to jump in and say, you got to... be more clear. But I remember, she'll remember this too. And it was hard, honey. Don't expect it again. I just smile. And by the way, my kids know this is one of my forms of discipline. My daddy's smiling. Daddy's smiling. And I'll just doing what I was doing. And then she came up to me within, I want to say 30 seconds. It should have been 10 seconds, but maybe within 30 seconds. She was back then. She came up and she goes, honey, I didn't communicate correctly. And I was like, about time. That's all you had to do. Now, but can I tell you something? There are many times those things happen in many relationships in here if we're not careful. And it doesn't play out the same way. It does not. Someone has to be loose with their tongue. Someone has to retaliate. Someone has to say something to get their way. And man, marriage is not honorable. A marriage left unattended is sure to wither and fade away. Perhaps a dose of effort can help your marriage tonight. Number three, and I'm done. Try a little harder with our children. Try a little harder with our children. I love talking about my kids and my family. That's just one of those, some people could talk for hours on certain topics, basketball, football, whatever. For me, I could talk to you for hours about family. I love it. I love it. Parenting isn't just about managing our child's behavior. It's about shaping their hearts. Shaping their hearts. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not do it. The training that we are to implement requires the heart. You got to train the heart. The training also requires an example from the parents. Listen, you got to exemplify. I can't sit there and tell my kids to love God when I'm watching something on Hollywood and watching kissing scenes and things that are not God and there's curse words and I got to try to turn it down. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I cannot be a friend of the world. I cannot do that and try to raise my kids for God. It doesn't happen. Charles Spurgeon said this, train up a child in the way he should go, but here it is, but make sure you go that way too. Train up a child in the way he should go, but make sure we are going that way ourselves. Train up our child to spend time in the Word of God every day, and that's what I'm trying to do. And by God's grace, they're going to be able to read their Bible through again this year. But let me say this. I can't just tell them what to do. I've got to do it too, because kids see hypocrisy. Kids see a double standard. Kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for. Come on, children, give me some amens here. Come on now. Next year. Each stage of parenting has its challenges and difficulties, but the necessary training in each stage is required to prepare our children for the next stage. I've had several times, people come to me, you don't understand yet when my kids were in diapers. You don't understand yet. You don't have any teenagers yet. You don't have any elementary kids yet. You don't get school age kids yet. You don't get it. And by the way, I believe they are struggling with their parenting. I believe that. But I believe they're struggling with their parenting not just because they have elementary kids, not just because they have high schoolers. They're struggling with their parenting because they're not going about it the right way. They're not going about it the right way because each stage of discipline and love prepares the kids for the next. I remember when our kids were in diapers. Now, well, okay, just wait. You love kids now, but just wait until they get their terrible twos. Let me say this, and take this however way you guys want to. I told my wife, Leslie, she's my only wife here, okay? I told her, this terrible two stuff, and not all of them were born yet. When CJ was, I don't know who was in the, they were all kind of right after the other. I said, we're not doing this terrible two stuff. We are not doing this terrible two stuff. Just because the world says there's a terrible two stage, that's not going to happen at the Chim household. And by God's grace, though they have not been perfect, and we have not been perfect training them. But let me say this. It was made very clear to my children early on. Hey, two-year-old, look up here. There is no terrible two stuff. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. And by the way, there's no terrible 13 stuff. There's no terrible 11 stuff. There's no terrible 9 stuff. There's no terrible 10 stuff. How old are you, Benji? There's no terrible 6 stuff. We are all going to live for the Lord. Amen. We're going to be obedient. Yep. Sometimes we got to try a little harder with our parenting. Avoid 3 parenting pitfalls, and I'm done. Avoid 3 parenting pitfalls. Number 1, parenting that is too soft. I'm going to need some help up here, folks. Turn up the monitor or something. Or I'm just kidding. No, actually, don't turn up the monitor. Turn me down. Three parenting pitfalls. Number 1, parenting that's too soft. That's a lot of coddling, babying. Here it is. I'm going to use the Bible verse in a little bit here. If you treat them as a baby, they will never grow up. If you treat them as a baby, they will never grow up. I remember one time I brought, or Benji was a K-4 in school, and someone had called him a baby. Hey, come here, baby. No, I corrected them right away as nice as I could. My baby stopped being babies when they were 12 months old. By the way, everybody does this, I imagine. When a new baby comes to the home, everyone has, especially the boys, everyone has to try to be nice to them. They're like, they're the babies. But when they got up to about one year old or a little bit thereafter, I told CJ and Andy when Benji was dominant. He was like, yeah, I'm the leader here. But then as soon as he turned one, and you know, the kids, the youngest, they typically get their way a little bit with the siblings, because the siblings have to be careful. But he realized very quickly, CJ, go ahead and hit him back. Andy, go ahead, push him. And man, they enjoyed it. And by the way, he learned very quickly, he's not as strong as his brothers. He learned very quickly that there's no baby of the home. You are the youngest. That means you are the weakest, okay? Not the baby of the home. Next pitfall. Or the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we treat our kids as babies and they think that they are babies, one thing that drove me, an invention that drove me crazy a little while ago, was the leash thing, and I don't know who has leashes. And there might be a kid with a leash on him right now. I have no idea, okay? I have no idea. But let me say something. If you treat your kids like an animal, and there's a leash on them because you don't want them to run away, and I'm so sorry if you have a leash, okay? Oh, yeah, I got them under control. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is treating me like a dog right now. They are treating me as a baby right now. They're holding me as a baby. I'm 25 years old. You're never going to grow up. Next year, overly defending, always rescuing them. Can I get an amen? Yeah. There you go. It is completely natural to want to rescue your kids, but they don't get the opportunity to develop the skills needed to do it on their own. And by the way, you're not always going to be there. I'm going to go down here for a little bit. You're not always going to be there to rescue them. You can try to rescue them right now at school, and that's fine because we're good Christians. We try to be. But go ahead and try that same move when they're at work. Go ahead and try that same move when they have their boss that pays them a salary. Go ahead and try. It's not going to work. And because we're always rescuing our kids and coddling our kids and overprotecting our kids never learn any stamina. They never learn how to fend for themselves. And as a result, they suffer. You know why they suffer? They suffer because of us. We're not preparing them to exist well with others. School, church, work. Here's one. That's not that important. Here's one. Future marriage. Come on now. If you don't teach them valuable skills, they're going to get married one day. They're going to have fights all the time. And your son is going to be a worthless husband that's not going to be leading the home because he thinks he's a baby. And it's not going to work out. I just need a little bit. Can I get one more amen? Come on. There you go. Thank you. Just pretend. Next year. If we don't reach or teach, here's a quote that I got. I don't even think it was from a Christian, but man, it pierced my heart so bad. Here it is. If we don't teach our children, the world will. Oh man, let me say that one more time. Just pretend a little bit more. If we don't teach our children, the world will. If you don't teach your children how to work hard, when they get that job and they get fired, that's them teaching your children. When you don't teach your children to get along with others and they get fired because they can't get along with other people, the world will teach them. Yep. Listen, I want to teach them in my home. I want to teach them to be hard workers. I want to teach them to be good husbands and good wives. I want to teach them. Next year, inconsistent. Parenting that is too inconsistent. You may have heard parents say, I discipline my kids, but it doesn't work. Often this frustration is rooted in inconsistent discipline, not the ineffectiveness of correction itself. Inconsistency confuses children. By the way, it confuses your children and my children. One day they get away with bad behavior. The next day they are punished for the same exact thing. Man, if I could just get the children to say amen, they would say amen. Children learn through consistent patterns. When we fail to follow through, our kids quickly recognize the boundaries and begin testing the limits. Oh, man. They begin testing the limits. I remember one time I went to Legoland. We're getting ready to go there again February 10th. And there was a mom that was just yelling at her son at 11 o'clock. We just started our day. If you do that again, I'm going to take you home. I don't care if we're on our vacation. I'm going to take you home. That was 11 o'clock. At about 2 o'clock, I saw her still talking to him the same way. That kid is never going to learn. Because all it takes is just a little bit more effort in doing wrong. Mom is surely not going to waste these expensive tickets that we bought. Let me tell you something. I tell my kids this, and they've learned this. And I tell our students this after my accident. I've used this a lot. And I feel it's worked. Like, hey, guys, look up here. Brother Chin promises. Yeah, look at Gary's nodding. I promise if you do that, I will do this. I promise. Because what I'm doing is I'm bounding myself to that.
Yeah.
Today for nap time, we had a very short time after lunch, and we went home, and then they had to come here quickly. So I said, listen, guys, time to go to bed. Time to take an hour nap before we have to go back. But 3:45, and I looked at them, and they're still antsy and a little excited. So I came outside, and I didn't yell. I don't like to yell in our home. Came out and said, hey, guys, look up here. Daddy's smiling. I promise you, if I continue to hear a noise, you are going to get it. Good night, guys. Went in. I slept good. I had like a 45-minute nap. I came back. Oh, I'm sorry. I also said, I promise you, if you don't get up, one of our kids, I won't say who, but they sit on the left of my wife. They fell asleep we were leaving at 3:30. They fell asleep at 3:22 or something like that. And then so-and-so just fell asleep. I said, that's okay. I already promised them. Literally, you know when you get that deep sleep and you just fall asleep? That's hard to get up. And then I just went over there. I said, so-and-so, we're going to leave in a couple minutes. And you already know what Daddy promised you. Man, she got up. She got up so quick. She got up so quick, and she's here. She was performing up here. Here's another one. Parenting that is too hard. This is my last point here. Discipline should not be sourced from outrage, amen, which only provokes anger, wrath, and bitterness. If your discipline is characterized by being out of control, your children will remain out of control. If your discipline is sourced from being out of control, your children will remain out of control. Three words that I want you to remember here, please. They will remember. Let me say it one more time. If you spank your kids out of control, you hit them in the face, you do this, and you're just out of control. One more time. Three very hard words. You ready for this? They will remember. You know why I know that? Because we remember, don't we? Come on now. We remember, don't we? We remember the times of neglect. We remember when we felt that maybe, and again, we were probably the ones that deserved it, but we remember when things were taken a little too far. They remember. Those little kids are singing up here. Man, was it the Pee-wee, Patch Pee-wee, and then the older kids? Let me say this. They got a good memory. They're going to be big kids one day. Let's not mess it up. The power is in your hands, parents. The power is in my, I had four of my five kids up here. I was trying to get CJ to come up with Pee-wee Pirate or whatever it's called. Pets, whatever it's called. But let me say this. They will remember. Let's not mess it up. Let's raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let us try a little harder. In closing, don't settle for good enough when God has called you to give your best. Perhaps we need to try a little harder. Try a little harder spiritually. Try a little harder in our marriage. And try a little harder with our children. The Bible says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing toward the mark requires effort, continual effort. It requires us to try a little harder. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for this message, for your word, Lord, and just your word is filled with so many treasures. Our problem is we gloss over so many treasures that would help us today. And I really do pray, Lord, the goal is, yes, to communicate effort really matters. And the goal is to communicate that we should try a little harder. But Lord, help us to realize we can make an impact of our lives today. We can take control back of our lives and give it back to you so you can lead us to prosperity. You can lead us to peace. Perhaps there's a marriage that's suffering from a little neglect. There are some wrong pursuits that have overtaken our marriages. There are some wrong pursuits that have taken over our parenting. We need to get back to taking our kids to the park. We need to get back to spending more time with our children. I love to see these parents traveling to Wildomar and go to various games. Wow, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That boat in the garage is not going to help your children. Praise the Lord, that time with them. That godly leadership is going to help our children. Help us to try a little harder in our marriages. Help us to try a little harder with our children. And help us to try a little harder spiritually. If there's anybody in here that's not reading their Bibles consistently, we've got to try a little harder. We've got to pray. We need the power of God. We cannot do it on our own. We are not going to be able to raise these children on our own. Oh God, please help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can come up here if you feel the Lord's working in your heart. If God gave you anything to think about, I'll tell you what, one of the things that I focused on a lot when I was a teenager, yes, a teenager, not even married yet, not even courting yet, I heard a lot of messages on child rearing and marriage, and I told myself, I want to be the best parents that I can be. I want to be the best husband that I can be, and I fall short often, folks. I fall short very often, but let me tell you something. It's way easier with God. It's way easier with God. And with just a little bit more effort, we can get our marriages back. With a little bit more effort, we can get our children back. I promise you, your children will thank you for it. I promise you, there's no child in here that if a dad or a mom wants to spend a little bit more time with them, not a time on their phone, time with them, asking them questions, it will only help. Maybe there's people in here without children yet. You will have children soon, and you can start planting the seeds now of biblical discipline, planting the seeds now of a godly home, planting the seeds now of holiness. And God will bless you for it. Father, bless us now, Lord, as we go our separate ways. Help us, I pray, Lord, to apply this message today. Whatever area of responsibility you've given to us, help us to try a little harder starting today. God, please help us to try a little harder. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.